You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
God delights in doing the impossible. That's what He does best. This whole thing called salvation is an impossible thing. In other words, it's not something that can be done by man. It's not something that can be figured out or done in the natural. You naturally can't make it happen. You can't be good enough. You can't have enough. You can't buy it. You can't earn enough money to make salvation happen. There's nothing you can do to be saved other than to believe God. Salvation is a God thing, not a man thing. And with men, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Is what Jesus said. Mark the 10th chapter, when he was talking about salvation, he said that. And even when Jesus was born, the angel that visited Gabriel, that visited Mary, and she said, well, how shall these things be? And he says, well, the Holy Ghost overshadow you, and that thing which will be born of you be called the Son of God. And the angel said, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing shall be impossible. No thing shall be impossible. Literally, if you take that apart, if you look at that in the Greek, in fact, some translations even said that, it's no declaration, no thing God says. Actually, the word is rhema. It's no rhema. Nothing God says is impossible. Are you out there?
Amen.
Somebody. Okay. So whatever your situation is, I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what your circumstances, your obstacles, your opposition, your battles, what you're looking at. As impossible as it may seem, God does the impossible. That's absolutely what He does. Moses and the children of Israel backed up at the Red Sea, and yet they crossed by dry land. Are you with me? Jonah was swallowed by a whale. Are you with me? And he survived. 3 days later, he was regurgitated out, you know, trying to clean it up, make it politically correct here. He was thrown up, is what he was, on the shore, and went and preached to Nineveh, the city of Nineveh, and told them to repent. But that happened. God said it happened, and it happened. And you and I, if we're honest about it, there's been some impossible things come to pass for us too, as Christians, as believers. God's done things that just couldn't have been done any other way. Whether they're physical, whether they're financial, whether they're mental, marital, or whatever the case may be, God delights in doing the impossible. He is the God of the impossibles. I mean, he ravens and widows, it doesn't matter. He can use whoever He chooses. And we get in trouble when we try to figure out how or try to tell God how. What we need to do is just believe. Amen? And that's all He's asking us to do. And so I don't think anybody would doubt that God can do the impossible. I don't think any Christian, any believer, anybody that believes in God believes that He can do. They may not believe He will, but they believe He can. Because God is the God of the impossible. God Himself is impossible in the natural. God's not a natural thing. Truth be known, you're not a natural thing either. That's what gets us in trouble. Is we think of ourselves in terms of being human beings. You know, we're not a human being having a spiritual experience. We're spiritual beings having a human experience. I think we got the whole thing turned around. We think we're just natural humans having this spiritual experience. No, I'm born again. I don't know about you. I got saved. How about you? Did you get saved? If any man be in Christ, the Bible says, is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things become new. And our Father is the Father of spirits, Hebrews 12 says. So my spirit is born again. I am a spirit living in a body. So I am a spiritual being having a human experience. Hallelujah, somebody. So what I've got to learn to do is to act like one, live like one, and live out of my spirit instead of out of my flesh. We always get in trouble when we try to live out of our flesh. We try to solve our problems out of the flesh. We look at our natural resources. We look at what we can do in the flesh, and yet we are a spirit in here. And all we got to do is pray and believe God, and God can do the impossible. He can do what can't be done in the natural. In fact, that's exactly what He does. He does the impossible. And the Bible doesn't just say God does that. That's the Mark the 10th chapter where Jesus said about salvation, with men it is impossible, with God all things are possible. Jesus said in Mark 9:23, He says all things are possible to him that believeth. Are you with me? To him that's strong enough? No. To him that's smart enough? No. To him that's good looking enough? No. To him that has enough money? No. To him that believeth. I love what Van says, I just got a childlike faith. Well, that's all you need is a childlike faith. All you have to do is believe. I mean, that's you preach a sermon on that statement right there. I mean, we just need to believe God. See, We're too smart in many cases. And I've said it many times. I preached a sermon one time that says you can be too smart to get this. You can. You cannot be too dumb to get it. Because all you have to do is believe. But you can be too smart to get it. And that's where we get in trouble. Because we're too smart. We know too much, don't we? And when it comes to healing, we know too much about that doctor's report. When it comes to finances, we know too much about that bank account. Hello, somebody. You know, when it comes to, you know, whether we can make it or not, whether we're going to, you know, have any destiny in our life, we're just too smart. We know too much about our genealogy. We know too much about our upbringing and our heritage. And are you with me? We know too much. Well, I'm just this and I'm just that. And I was just born in this family and this time and this place. And I just got this and this is all I ever got. And I don't have education. I don't. See, we're too smart. We're way too smart. No. So you need to throw all that out and you just need to trust God. Because if you do, Jesus, the words of Jesus now, Mark 9:23, all things are possible to him who believes. Wow. Now, I'm not getting crazy here. I'm not saying something out of whack here. Yeah, believing is based on the word. I understand it has an object of faith. We're not just believe. I can't believe I'm going to, you know, have a pumpkin turn into a coach. That's fairy tale stuff. But if I believe for healing, that's biblical. If I believe to get me out of this mess I'm in, if I trust him and believe him to get me out of this mess, that's biblical. I got promises on that. I mean, Jesus said, Mark 11:23, whatsoever things you desire when you, well, Mark 11:24, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Right. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. I know some people say, well, there you go, all that faith preaching. I just quoted a scripture. I'm just quoting scripture here. You'd have to label Jesus a faith preacher because I'm quoting him. Are you with me? Right. And he said, Jesus said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. Believe. You have to believe, though. In fact, the verse before that, Mark 11:23, says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, believe, but believes those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, next verse, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Woo! Man, that's just so powerful. I know this is kindergarten stuff to some of us, but it's not. It's stuff we let slip, and it's stuff we don't need to get away from. We need to stay with it and hang in here with it, because it's how we got where we are. Are you with me? And it's how we're going to keep going. Praise God. Here I am, 31 years now we've been in this church. 31 years I've been pastoring this church, and it hadn't changed. The message is still the same. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? It's still the same. Hallelujah. Whosoever. Everybody say, I'm a whosoever.
I'm a whosoever.
You may say, well, I don't know about all that. Well, let me give you another whosoever. For God so loved the world that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you think that's you? I think that's me. How about you? I am one of those whosoevers that believed on Jesus, and according to that scripture, John 3:16, according to that scripture, hallelujah, I'm not going to perish. I got everlasting life because I believe on Jesus. I'm a whosoever. Well, that's the same word. Are you out there? Jesus speaking. Have faith in God. Well, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say, you can be that whosoever. You say, well, he's talking to the disciples. Well, who's he talking to in John 3:16? He's talking to Nicodemus. I guess he wasn't talking to you. He's just talking to that one guy. No, he said, whosoever. See, that changes everything. You say, well, he was talking to Peter. Well, it doesn't matter who he was talking to. He said, whosoever. So that includes all us, amen? That meets that requirement of whosoever, and the whosoever there is the one that says to the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which you say shall come to pass. That whosoever shall have whatsoever he says. Now, we don't all get what we say, but we get what we say that we believe what we say. Whatever we believe and say, we get. That's what Jesus said, amen. I love the way he says that the next verse, too. I know y'all are probably wondering where we're going to go to. Well, I'm preaching right now. I tell you, turn to 1 Corinthians 2. We'll start there, but it's no guarantee we're going to get there quick. But I think about that verse a lot there, Mark 11, 23, 24, when he makes this principle or statement or law, spiritual law, you might say. It is a spiritual law, that whatever you believe and say, you're going to get. Now, you don't get everything you say, but you get what you believe and say. You say a lot of things you're never going to get. You come home and you say your feet are killing you. They probably won't, but, you know, or you died laughing, or, you know, man, this thing's killing me, you know. And we say stuff like that, and we don't believe it, and it's not going to happen. But you probably shouldn't say it because you don't believe it. That's a good point. Are you with me? Man, I died laughing. You know, well, you didn't die laughing. You don't believe that. You say it because everybody else says that, and, you know, and you don't believe that. That's not going to happen, but you probably shouldn't say it because you don't believe it. Are you with me? Are you out there? Because if you're going to train yourself to believe what you say, you got to stop saying things that you don't believe. That makes sense? And it's a discipline. You know, I'm not concerned when someone says, man, that just my feet are just killing me. I'm not concerned that their feet are going to kill them. But, you know, there is a habit we kind of get into of saying things we really don't believe. And then we try to believe. And it's tough because we say so many things we don't believe. Cliches and, you know, all those kinds of things. But the principle's still there and the law is still true. Jesus is the one that said it. And he said, whosoever shall say to this mountain. Just paraphrase the thing. Whosoever says something and believes what he says is going to get what he says. That's the law. That's the principle. And then the next verse, I think it's interesting. He says, therefore I say to you. In other words, okay, that's the principle. Now I'm going to say something. I'm going to apply the principle. I'm going to do what I just said to you. I just said to you that whoever says something, they believe it, it's going to come to pass. Now, I'm going to say something here. Therefore, in light of what I just said, therefore, I say, whatsoever things you desire, I'm saying something here, and this is Jesus saying this. This is his word. This is his faith behind this. This is Jesus speaking. And he just told us that you get what you say if you believe it. Now, he's going to say something and believe it, and he's going to get what he says. Are you with me? And he says, therefore, I say to you, and you have Jesus' word on this. You have his faith on it because he said it. He told you the principle, and then he acted on the principle. Therefore, I say to you, whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe you receive it, and you'll have it. And you got Jesus' word on that.
Hallelujah.
You getting that?
Hallelujah. Lord.
And you have his faith behind that. Yes. I mean, as if Jesus parted the heavens and just stood here. It would be no different. It would be no more powerful. Oh, we might be blown over and fall and pass out and have to get back up and somebody would pour water on our face and everything. I understand. Jesus appearing would blow us away. But it would be no more true if he were standing here, if he split heaven and he stood here in front of you, Dina, and said, Dina, I say to you, Jesus speaking, whatever you desire when you pray, believe you receive it and you'll have it. And then go back up into heaven, the heavens close. Don't you think that would make Dina's day? Are you with me? But did you know what? He did say that to all of us. It's exactly what he said. It's in the Bible. It's no more true if he appeared right now, split heaven, and stood before us than when he said it right there. Because the Bible's true, amen? Now, obviously, it would probably have a bigger impact. I mean, that would make an impression on me, to say the least, but it really shouldn't. It should be just as strong. It should be just as true. It should be just as powerful. If I can find it in his word where he said that, and not just once. I mean, come on, he didn't just say that one time. You know, Matthew 21:22 says, all things you desire when in all things you ask in prayer, believe and you shall receive. Jesus said that. John 15:7, he said, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. And it shall be done for you. Wow. John 14:12, he says, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and even greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father, that whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. That's what Jesus said. Woo! That's good stuff. Amen. Wow. Where did I tell y'all to turn to? That's good. 1 Corinthians, yeah. 1 Corinthians 2. Well, I'm just kind of going to stay on it even when in 1 Corinthians. I'm going to stay on it. I'm just kind of, you know, getting ready to jump off the diving board here and pray there's water in the pool. Getting you ready. Hallelujah. See, God's the God of the impossible. And all things are possible to him that believeth. See, that's the problem. We don't believe. Now, I know things don't happen overnight. I know things don't happen sometimes in an instant. I know some things take, you know, days, weeks, months, whatever. But it's, if you believe and you stand on God's word, God never forgets your faith, never forgets the promise. God's going to always do what he says. Always. He'll always come through. He said in Isaiah 55:10-11, he said, as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void without power. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And you and I are where it was sent. It was sent to us. And the word will never prosper till it gets in us. But it'll prosper in the thing where God sent it. And it will accomplish what he pleases, which is what he says. Whatever he says, that's what he pleases. Well, I don't know if this is God's will. Well, God's will is what he says. What pleases God is what he says. I don't know if God really wants me to have it. Well, if he said it, he wants you to have it. Amen? So just get it in you. But see, you the battle is in the head. It's up here in this head. We try to figure things out. You know, I started out talking about that. We try to look at things in the natural and try to make sense of a lot of this stuff. But see, what we're trying to do, we're trying to make sense in the natural of something that's spiritual. We're talking about spiritual truth here, eternal truth here. This world will pass away. You're going to live a lot longer than this life. I hope you understand that. And there are two worlds going on here. There's two dimensions. There's the heavenly, there's the natural. We're walking around in the natural, but I'm a spirit and you're a spirit. And so that's when Jesus talks about all this thing about prayer and confession and believing and standing on the word, he's just trying to get us to stand in our rightful place and realize who we are. We're kings and priests unto God. This world was made for us. What's wrong with this world is us. And if it's going to get right, it's us that's going to make it right. And it's through prayer and through faith that things turn around. And that's how you get saved. That's how you solve situations. Now, I know there's things in the natural we do and we work and principles that we obey, but you have to put prayer behind things. Because the real force of change in the earth is faith. It can be faith in the wrong thing. It'll change things too. People do that all the time too. But if you put faith in the right thing, you'll have God in heaven behind you, and it can affect a change. If you could figure out how everything was made, this is a good point. If you could come down to the source of all things, and we have the record in the Bible, everything we know was made by God's word. That's what the scripture says. It says, God said, let there be light, there was. God said, let there be cattle, bring forth cows, and there are. And God said, let us make man, and he did. And everything God made, he made through his word. So if you could find out how everything was made and what everything is subject to, then all you got to do is start changing what you say and start changing the words in your home and your atmosphere and your business and your life, and you can change your life and your world and your home and your business. Because everything was made by God's word, therefore everything is subject to God's word. That's kind of a technical point, but that's why prayer works, and that's why prayer changes things. That's why faith changes things. I might say faith, not just prayer, because it's not always just prayer. I think most of what changed in our life is just confessions we're making, not necessarily prayers. We should pray, but just our faith makes our prayers work, not the other way around. You can't pray hard enough to make it happen if you don't believe. He didn't say just pray and just ask. He said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe. Isn't that right? Believe you receive them, and you shall have them. So you've got to put faith behind what you say to make it happen. So there's a spiritual world, and there's a natural world. And the natural world really is controlled by the spiritual world. It's controlled a lot of your future is determined by what you're saying right now. Where you are right now has been determined by what you've been saying and believing in the past. What you've been going toward, what you've been confessing, what you've been dreaming about, what you've been talking about. You got it. Maybe you hadn't had big dreams. Well, that's probably, you don't have a, that's why your presence's not so big right now. But it can get bigger. You can change that. Amen. You could change that by changing what you say, changing what you pray, by realizing, as I said earlier, that you are a spiritual being having a human experience. You and I are children of the living God. We are kings and priests unto our God. We are how God does things down here. Now, I mean, there's no other way to say it. I mean, you say, well, God does what he does, and he doesn't care what we think. Well, you know, God says what he says, and he doesn't change. I understand that. But I can tell you what God thinks and what God says. What he says and what he thinks is very simple. He's put us here to make a difference. He told us to pray that his kingdom come, his will be done. He didn't say, it doesn't matter what y'all do, the kingdom will come, and my will be done. He said, no, you pray, my kingdom come, that will be done. He didn't say, you know, it doesn't matter whether you pray or not, people are going to get healed. No, he said, you go lay hands on the sick, and they recover. He didn't say, you know, everybody around you just going to get healed if I want them to get healed. And if I don't want them to get healed, they're not going to get healed. No, he said, pray ye one for another that you may be healed. Are you out there? So I got a part in this deal. I need to understand something here. This world is controlled by other forces than what I see. This world is controlled and manipulated, really, by the unseen world. And I need to get with a program. I need to start believing God and trusting God and start speaking the word and praying and believing for a change. Start calling it in. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, 1 Corinthians 2. Notice what it says in the 9th verse. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. No, this doesn't make a lot of sense in the natural. I understand that. God told us it didn't. Are you out there? I have not seen, ear not heard, neither have entered in the heart of man things, the things that God hath prepared. Now, these are God things. You know, we're talking about joy. That's a God thing. Peace, that's a God thing. Healing's a God thing. Salvation's a God thing. Are you with me? A lot of these things only come from God, and you can't get them outside of him. No, that's not a statement against doctors and hospitals. Thank God for hospitals, doctors, medicine. You know we're for that. But I'm saying healing comes from God. Even it's even him working through the doctors. And are you with me? And he can do it without the doctors, too. I mean, I understand that, too. Hallelujah. But healing is a God thing. Now, it says here, I have not seen, ear have heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things that God prepared for them that love him. Do you love God? I do. Well, God obviously from this verse has some things prepared for us. But they're not things we're going to figure out with our head. I have not seen ear, not heard. Now, there's no gospel song, you know, I have not seen. You know the song. Ear, not. But it's talking about heaven, but this is not talking about heaven. It's talking about one day we're going to see it all, one day we're going to hear it all. But that's not what this is talking about. And it's not the context of this scripture. Because it says, it goes on to say, 9th verse, read again. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered the heart of man the things which God prepared for them that love him. Next verse, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. By his Spirit. Not by intellectual knowledge, not by my head knowledge, not by feeling, but by his Spirit. Man, this is what we got to get. We got to get hooked up to the Spirit, amen? We got to start being more spiritually minded. So we can be some earthly good, we need to be more spiritually minded. I know there's an old saying that says, so heavenly minded, there's no earthly good. But I'd argue with that. I think that's flaky minded, that you're no earthly good. If you're really heavenly minded, you're very much earthly good. Are you with me? True heaven, true spiritual, true biblical. I know there's some flaky ideas out there that make you know of no earthly good, but you're never going to get so spiritually minded you're no earthly good. The more spiritually minded you are, the more earthly good you are. Because then you're able to change some things in the earth. You're able to change your situation. Hallelujah. I guarantee this building didn't come, and this land didn't come, and this food ministry didn't come, and Hallelujah Night didn't come, and gymnasium didn't come. They didn't come because we were naturally minded, giving $100,000 a year to missions. Naturally, are you kidding? This is Wills Point, Texas. People don't do that in Wills Point, Texas. This is not Dallas. Who do you think you are? Are you out there? See, you need to understand you're in a small town, and you need to start thinking small town thinking. Oh, really? I didn't read that anywhere. Did you read that somewhere in the Bible? I didn't read it in the Bible. See, you can't do that in a small town. Well, too late. I'm sorry. We already did it. Are you out there? Had a television channel for several years, 24 hours a day. Channel 16, Shining Light Broadcasting. You can't do that. Well, what do you mean you can't do? You can do whatever you believe. It's what the Bible says, doesn't it? What are you doing with 40-something acres out here in the middle of nowhere? Well, you know, it's paid for. Well, you can't. Hallelujah Night and all those people coming, you can't. That thing's expensive. You know how much that costs to get all that candy and those prizes and get all that put together? You can't do. Well, we did. God spoke to us to do it, and it grew and it grew and it grew. Hello. Are you out there? Well, you can't spend that kind of money on missions. You need to put some of that money in the house. Well, really, I think there's a story about a goose that got killed that laid the golden egg. If you stop your giving, you're going to stop your income. Are you with me? If we stop giving, we won't have anything. I know that's crazy, and that makes no sense in the natural, but we're not talking natural, we're talking spiritual. These are things that God reveals. God revealed to us that if we give, that He'd make sure we had plenty. And so we started giving. We started increasing our giving, and the more we increased, the more came in. To stop that, say, well, that's a lot of money. We could take that money, and we could put it into this building, and let's slow down. Let's talk about how we got to where we are right now. We got where we are right now by giving. We wouldn't have the building. We wouldn't have the land. We wouldn't have Hallelujah Night. We wouldn't. None of that would even be here if we hadn't given. We're going to stop giving. You're killing the goose that laid the golden egg if you do that. You say, well, that didn't make any sense. It makes a lot of sense to me. Are you with me? I got all kinds of scripture on it, all kinds of principles in the Bible on it. Hallelujah. Stay with me. It says here, but God has revealed them unto us. Them what? Them things. What things? Them things that God has for us. May not be correct English, but it's still true nonetheless. The reason people don't receive from God the things He has for them, miracles maybe, okay, financial prosperity, peace, joy, whatever the case may be, I think many times it's very simple here because we're looking at it from a natural standpoint. We got all the information in the natural, but see, it's not natural. I had not seen, ear had not heard. We got to believe what God says. And it says, but God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The more we yield to a Spirit, the more we trust God, the more we get in the Spirit, as it were, and live out of our Spirit, as it were, the more we're going to move into things of God and see the things of God come to pass. You got a miracle around the corner. You got an answered prayer waiting on you. You've got a financial blessing, whatever the case may be. You've got a healing waiting on you. You've got, there's something on the other side. You've got something that God wants for you and me, all of us, that we're just not going to see, we're not going to attain, and we're not going to get it as long as we're looking in the natural, as long as we're doing the math on a paper. Are you out there, somebody? And I'm not talking about not budgeting and using wisdom with your finances. I understand all that. That's all good. You do everything you can in the natural. But let's trust God. Amen? Let's trust God. Hey, I'll wrap this up. I may have to get back on this next week because I didn't hardly get into it. But just jump on down with me, if you would, to the 14th verse. Notice what it says here. This is better preaching. Y'all are amen. Good stuff. Actually, this will change your life. This is why we are where we are today. Hallelujah. This is why we in this church have what we have, and this is why we haven't scratched the surface yet, because we got more coming. I believe God always has more. Amen. There's more people to reach. There's more people to be saved. There's more people to be filled with the Holy Ghost. There's more marriage need to come back together. There's more people need to be blessed financially. Not God's will that people be poor. It's not God's will that people do without. You know, the food bank is just a start to get people on their feet. But our prayer is that they get on their feet and don't need the food bank. That's the prayer. And that can happen. Are you with me? It doesn't happen overnight, but it does happen. But, 14th verse. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Because they, the things of God, are foolishness to him. You talk about healing some people, they look at you like a cow looking at a new gate. Well, that just never happened. You talk about a miracle that took place, you know, some miraculous thing. You mean evangelist came to your church and paid off your bill, and I never heard anything like that in my life. Well, that's never happened in our church. No, and it never will. Because you don't believe that, are you with me? Because you got stops on God, you got limits on God, you know. Are you out there? I mean, you know, that could just never, are you kidding me? We just got a little old church and we're just in a little old town and we can never do that. Y'all just got, you know, I hear people sometimes tell me, well, y'all just got that big old church over. And I'm thinking, you know, do you know how big Wills Point is? I mean, and they're in a town 10 times bigger than we are, you know. Never dream of giving what we give. Never dream of reaching out, doing the things that we do. And we're not doing everything we can do. I believe we can do a whole lot more. Are you with me? And I'm not bragging on me and I'm not being arrogant here. I'm talking about God wants to do so much more than we ever dreamed or imagined. He's just waiting on somebody to believe him, somebody to stand on his word, somebody to get out of their head and start walking out of their spirit. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned and understood. Wow. Quit shooting yourself in the foot with your head. Amen? Just start trusting God and just leave it there. But, no. Just believe God. Yeah, but, no. You're not a special case, okay? God can do a miracle for you, and he will if you'll trust him. Yeah, but, no buts. Are you out there? God knows you better than I do. And what he'll do for one, he'll do for another if you'll just trust him. You are a whosoever, amen?